All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So we are, today's daf is Ayin Aleph 71, and we are picking up on the bottom of Ayin Mavei 70b, the two dots. Achol kol machol. So the Mishnah stayed three lines up from the bottom. Achol kol machol v'lo achol basar, shasol kol mashke v'lo shasa yayin. If the ben sor mora went ahead and eat any food item, but he didn't eat meat, or for that matter, again, he drank something, but it was not wine. So the Gemara says, what is this? So the Mishnah says he's not a ben sora mora. So on a simple level, he's not a ben sora mora until he goes ahead and what? Steals money in order to eat meat and to drink wine. Says the Gemara, v'lo achol basar la'asuye tevei l'ki'ila. So we'll say, when it says that he didn't eat meat, it means even if he stole money and he ate a cake of pressed figs from ki'ila. So we'll say, so the cake of pressed figs from ki'ila ultimately, again, is an intoxicating. It has an intoxicating quality, like wine. Shasa kolmashke v'lo shasa yayin. If he went ahead and he ate any drink, but he did not go ahead and drink wine. La'asuye dvash v'chalav. It's actually quite interesting that honey and milk could have almost like an inebriating effect, like wine. The idea that the Mishnah is saying is, even though, again, there could be items that could have an effect of meat or wine, if it's not meat or wine, he's not chayv as a ben sora mora. Desanya, achol devei lekila, v'shasa devash v'chalav. Because again, we learned that if a person, Cohen, went ahead and ate a cake of pressed figs from ki'ila, or he drank honey or milk, v'nichnas lamikdash, and he went into the base hamikdash, chayiv. Ultimately, again, he will be chayiv. We'll say chayiv for what? Rashi says, if we're on the top of Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, Mishum Yayin v'shechar al tisht. He'll be chayiv ultimately, again, for entering into the base hamikdash in an inebriated state, which Rabbi said is just an interesting statement in and of itself that you see from here. We're all familiar with the prohibition to, to serve under the influence, right? You're not allowed to go out and do the avod of the Beis HaMikdash while under the influence of alcohol, while intoxicated. The interesting part that the Gemara is not coming to teach me is that it's not limited to alcohol, but rather, again, anything that ultimately has an inebriating effect will be under this prohibition. So, however, despite the fact that there's this inebriating effect, it will not go ahead and make the child into a ben sora remora. We'll say Shir this morning is sponsored by Said and Sima Haken in honor of the Yamim Noraim and in the Zuchus of Aksiva V'Chasima Tova for all of Klal Yisrael. The Shir is also sponsored by Gil and Molly Horowitz and family in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Gil's father, Yehudi Yaakov Ben Nasan Halevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an Aliyah. Shir is also sponsored by Dovi and Zahava Turner in honor of the Bar Mitzvah, the Bobo and Bar Mitzvah of their son Pini, who should be Zoche Meretz Hashem to see much Nachas and many Simchas. So says the Gemara Baita, Eino Na'ase Ben Sora Mora Ach Yochal Basar V'Yishtiyayin. Tan Rabbanan, Ochol Kol Machov Lo Ochol Basar. If, let's say, the boy stole money and he ate food, but it wasn't meat, or Shasa Kol Mashke V'Lo Shasa Yayin, or he stole money for a drink, but it wasn't wine, he doesn't become Ben Sora Mora. So we'll say again, simple criteria, the boy only becomes a Ben Sora Mora if he steals money in order to purchase meat and to drink wine. Shene Emar, Zolel V'Sovei. And even though, again, there's no explicit proof to this, we have a remembrance to this, or an allusion to this. As the Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, do not be amongst those who are gluttonous with meat or with wine. So the Gemara says, because if you do, va'omer, kisove v'zolo, because those who are gluttonous individuals, ukraim talbish numa. Ultimately, again, because those who are gluttonous will be individuals who will wear tattered clothing. Rashi says over here, it's the second wide line from the top, v'kraim talbish numa, numa sha'adam iskareba, talbish kraim klomer, sov kolabal ha'anos lavolidianius. So what the Pasuk simply teaching me is that he who overindulges ultimately, again, will come to poverty. So say, makes sense, person overindulges, ultimately, again, they burn through all of their resources. Such a person will end up with tattered clothing. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira darshins on this a different Joshabos, which is actually quite interesting. He says, Kala Yashin Bebeis HaMedrash. This is actually quite amazing. He says, anyone who sleeps in the Beis HaMedrash, bless you, anyone who sleeps in the Beis HaMedrash, anyone who sleeps during the, right, during the drasha, during the shir, right? So what happens? Listen to this. He says, Na'aselo Kroim Kroim. His Torah becomes like a tattered, like tattered clothing. And we'll say, now what's the chap over here? Rashi says over here, third wide line from the top, Na'aselo Kroim, Mashkach Limudo Ve'enoniska Elo Beserigin. The problem when you doze, when you're learning, is what? Is that you only hear bits and pieces. You only hear bits and pieces, and therefore, again, one's learning is incomplete, much like the tattered clothing is not the complete garment. Shene emar ukraim talbish numa. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, so again, we're two lines up from the wide lines. Ayin aleph amud aleph. Ganav mishal aveh va'achar b'shos aveh. So we'll say, again, still trying to fine-tune the details of Ben Sora Rumora. So let's say the boy steals from his father, and he eats the meat and the wine, drinks the wine, in the reshus, in the domain of his father. So, or mishal achirim ba'achal b'shus achirim, or he stole from others and ate in the reshus of others, or mishal achirim ba'achal b'shus aviv, or he stole from others and he ate in the reshus of his father. Ein onase ben sora mora achik no mishal aviv yochal b'shus achirim. I will say the criteria for ben sora mora is that he goes ahead and he steals the money from his father. Steals money from his father, but when he buys the meat and the wine, he consumes it in the reshus of others, meaning outside of the domain of his father. We'll discuss why this is in just a little bit. So Rabbi Yossi Behuda, Rabbi Yossi Behuda says, "Achigno mishal aviv umishal imo." Rabbi Yossi Behuda says, "No, he has to be that he steals both from his mother and his father." So what's happening over here? Look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Gana mishal aviv va'achal b'shus aviv." So we'll say, if the boy steals from his father and he eats in the rishus of his father, afagav d'shchiach lei bois. So we'll say, the idea over here is the following. The holy yisod of Ben Sora Umora, we're going to discuss this, is that this young boy is engaging in behaviors that we feel ultimately are going to pull him into a life gluttonous lifestyle, that he's going to have to resort to a life of crime to support. So the Gemara is saying over here, essentially, the way he steals and where he eats has to be in a sustainable fashion. I know that sounds in a negatively sustainable fashion. So, for example, if he goes ahead and he sells from his father, steals from his father, but he eats in the rishus of his father is going to see his son overindulging. So, what is the father going to do? The father's going to shut it down, right? The father's going to discipline his child, so therefore the son will not be drawn into this life of crime, so to speak. Furthermore, the Gemara goes on. Literally, boys. Mishal achirim ve'achar b'shus achirim. If he goes in and he steals from others, right, and he eats in the riches of others, afagav de lo boys, even though he's not afraid of anyone stopping this negative behavior, lo shchiach le. They both say the easiest access that a child has to money is his parents' money. So the idea over here is that in order to be concerned that he's going to be drawn out to this negative lifestyle, two things have to occur. Number one, he has to have access to money, which only really comes from his father and mother, and he has to be able to consume the meat and the wine in a place where he's not going to get disciplined. So you put this all together, I was saying, what do you get? You get that he really only becomes a Ben Sora Mora if he steals the money of his parents, and where does he eat the meat and wine? Bishus Achirim, it's someone else's Rishus. This way, the funds are quote-unquote easily accessible, and he's eating it in a way or in a place where no one's really going to come to discipline him. So we'll say, therefore, again, he only becomes a Ben Sora Mora if he steals money from his father, because again, that's what we call shchiach. Ultimately, again, that money is available. The yochal b'rishos achirim, and he consumes it in someone else's rishos, i.e., not his father's domain, below boys, because he's not fearful that anyone's going to discipline him. So this combination ultimately creates a reality in which we could be concerned that this young boy is going to be sucked into this gluttonous lifestyle, and therefore again he becomes a Ben Sora Mora. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer Achik No Mishalav Mishal Imo. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, it's not just for him to steal from his father, he has to steal from his father and his mother. Imo Minala. So first of all, where does Rabbi Yosef get this, that a house has to be from his mother? After all, Mashakansi Ishakana Baila. We'll say in general, again, we assume that whatever a wife acquires, the husband automatically acquires as well. So what is this idea of the wife independently owning something. What it means is the ben sora more only becomes a ben sora, the boy only becomes a ben sora more if he steals food from a meal which was prepared for his mother and father. So he says, really? The way we set up ben sora remora, it's tafki stealing what? Stealing money. Stealing money, not stealing food. If a boy steals food and eats that, that does not make him into a ben sora remora. Dafka funds. Ela ima midemei suda mukhenes la'abev ulima. Rather, what it must mean is, he steals money from a meal which was set aside for his mother, or which was prepared for his mother and his father. The other possibility is, the other possibility, meaning if you're looking for a case of where the mother could have money without the father, that would be a situation ultimately where what? Where again, someone gave the mother money, but it was given conditionally. This money is yours on the condition that your husband has no access to it. So what's at the end of the day, the Rambam does not accept the caveat of Rabbi Yossi. The money need not be stolen from the mother as well. Rather, as long as the money is stolen from the father, then halach l'maisa, the wife becomes a ben sora remora. So we'll say the take home from this piece is, he becomes a ben sora remora if obviously if he's stealing money, that's number one, not stealing food, stealing money, and it has to be money from the father, but yet the food is consumed birshus achirim, someone else's rishus. Weiter, says the Mishnah, Hayo aviv rotze v'ima ina rotze, this is amazing. Let's say his father wanted to turn him into Beis Din. Right, the father is ready to turn the boy into Beis Din to have him condemned as a ben sora remora v'ima ina rotza, but the mother doesn't want to, or aviv ina rotza v'ima rotza, or the father doesn't want to, the mother wants to. The idea is the parents are not on the same page. What's talacha? Inonas a ben sora remora. They will say the boy cannot become a ben sora remora ad yushnehem rotzin, until both parents want the boy turned into Beis Din. Rabbi Huda Omer, Yem lo haisi imo ru'uya la'aviv, eno na'asa ben sora mora. And Rabbi Huda says, if for some reason the mother wasn't fit for the father, again, we'll discuss what that means, then the boy can become a ben sora mora. Says the Gemara, ma'ein ru'uya, what does that mean? The mother's not fit for the father. Ile ma'chaive krisos v'chaive misos Beis Din. Maybe you want to say that it's an illegal marriage. It's a legal marriage, and the father ultimately marries someone who was prohibited to him, either chas v'shalom, through a chi of kares, or a chi of Mises Beis Din. So he married someone else's wife. He married ultimately an erva. He married Isaac Cohen, and he married a grusha. I mean, those aren't Mises Beis Din, but it's an illegal marriage. So Gemara says, who cares? Sof avua avuaninu. But Gemara says something very interesting. When it comes to ben sora remora, who cares if the marriage is legal? What matters is what? That these people are his father and his mother. Meaning, the nature, the halachic nature of their union should not really be relevant for this particular issue. To which the Gemara says, Ela b'shavel aviv kamar. We'll say, watch this. Rather, what the Gemara means is that in order for the boy to become a ben sora remora, his parents have to be shavah. Shava means the same. Now, what does it mean about say? Listen to this. Tani Nami Achir Bais supports this. Rabbi Huda Omer, Im lo haisa imo shava la aviv. If the mother was not similar to the father, bikol, in voice, bimara, meaning the parents sound alike, bimara, the parents have a resemblance to each other, ubikoma, and the parents have the same height, eno naase ben sora rumora. The child cannot become a ben sora remora. Where do we get this from? The Amar Kara, einenu shomea bikolenu. So both say this is a wild drasha, because what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that einenu shomea bikolenu. We understand what it means is he doesn't listen to our unified voice. The Gemara is taking this a step further and saying not only is it a unified voice, but it's only ben sora remora if what? If they mamish have the same voice. And the fact that the Torah emphasizes that they have to have the same voice, they have to have the same stature, the same height, and the same type of appearance as on the bus. And I obviously understand that if you put this criteria in place for Ben Sora Umora, then what? Never going to happen. Never going to happen. In fact, again, here the Marsha points out that, remember, we learned this earlier, that for a man to have a voice like a woman, I'd be like more like a high-pitched voice, that would actually be somewhat problematic, because usually the high-pitched voice represents a sris, someone who's incapable of having children. So, meaning this criteria itself is inherently flawed. So the Gemara says, Kiman, so whose opinion does this reflect? So Kiman Azla Desanya, Ben Sorer Umora, Lo Haya, Velo Asid Lihios. So we'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? In other words, whose opinion is this criteria that parents have to be the same in their voice, in their appearance, in their stature? It must be according to the Mandama, who says, Ben Sorer Umora, never happened and never will happen. If that's the case for Lama Nechtov, Drosh the Kabel Schar. Rebbe say, because literally what it means is learn it and get reward. Rebbe say, now what does that mean? So you could look at it as saying it has absolutely no application and no meaning. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the opportunity to learn Torah Lishma. So you have to look at it a little bit deeper. Rather, what it means is the following. Although on a technical level, this halacha may never materialize. In other words, there may not be a Ben Sora Rumora, but the halacha itself has incredible lessons and incredible meaning that we are supposed to understand. See, even though on a practical level, there may not be a Ben Sorer Umora, but nevertheless, again, there is some, there are incredible lessons to be learned from this. Kiman Rabbi Huda, whose opinion is this? This is like Rabbi Huda. So therefore, again, Rabbi Huda is the one who says that Ben Sorer Umora never happened, never will happen. And if that's the case, again, he's the one who holds this criteria that parents must look the same, have the same pitched voice, and be the same height. Iba Yisem, Rabbi Shimon, other possibilities. And reflexively, Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon say? This is how Rabbi Shimon, V'chim ipnei sha'achal zet artim rabasa v'shasa chatzi lo g'yayna italki, ave vi'im homo tzino sol saklo. So we'll say, so says Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand. Because this boy is exhibiting some really significant at-risk behavior, and he's going ahead and he's stealing money to purchase meat and to purchase wine, we're going to stone him. I will say, Rabbi Shimon says, seems a bit extreme. Ela lo hayo v'lo asid liyos. Rather, Rabbi Shimon says that at the end of the day, Ben Sora Ramora never happened and never will happen. Aye, so if that's the case, why is it included in the Torah? V'lama nichtav, drosh v'kabel schar. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon says, same idea. It's there to teach us, it's there to allow us to darshan, to understand things, and to receive rewards. So we'll say the idea is, on a practical level, according to these opinions, Ben Sorer Umora will never materialize. But, that being said, there are lessons to be learned from this section in the Torah. Conversely, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Ani Re'isiv, Rabbi Yonasan says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I have seen a Ben Sorer Umora myself, V'yashavti al kivro. I have sat on his grave. We're saying, obviously, not literally sat on his grave, but Rabbi Yonasan is saying, I've seen it. I don't know what you're talking about. I've actually seen it myself. So Kiman Azla Hadassan, we'll say, here's what's fascinating about this is, we have a machlokes about a metzias. Did Ben Sorer Umora ever occur or not? Rabbi Yonasan saying yes, and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda saying never happened. So Kiman Azla Hadassanya, according to whose opinion is the following brayser written? Irani Dachas Lo Haisav Lo Asid Liyos. But the Irani Dachas is a city that is totally destroyed because all of the inhabitants worship Avodah Zarah. So the brayser says never happened, never will happen. Never will happen. If it's never happened, never will happen. So why is it included in the Torah? Drosh v'kabel schar. So once again, remember, drosh v'kabel schar doesn't just mean learn it and you'll get reward. What it means is learn it because there are lessons to be learned. There are yisodos to be learned, even if in a practical level the actual halacha is never going to materialize. Kiman, Rabbi Eliezer. I will say this seems to be the Rabbi Eliezer. Why? This saying Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kol ir sheyish ba'filu mezuzah achos. This is amazing. Because Rabbi Eliezer says, any city that has at least one mezuzah cannot become an Ir HaNidachos. Cannot become an Ir HaNidachos. Why not? My timer. Amikra, ve'es kol shlala tikbots el toch rechava, v'serafta ba'ish. Because what's the Torah about Ir HaNidachos? That's what? You gather up everything in the city, and what do? You make a big bonfire in the middle of the city, and you burn everything. And I will say, since you can't go ahead and chas v'shalom burn a mezuzah, Because the pasuk says you shall not do like this in to your own God. In other words, you could burn avodah zarah, destroy avodah zarah, but you can't do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't burn a mezuzah. So Rabbi Elazar says if there's even one mezuzah in the city, not a year nidachas. So at the end of the day, is there such a thing as a Jewish city without even one mezuzah? Rabbi Elazar says no. Impossible. Impossible. Lo hayah v'lo yehiyah. Therefore, Ein Nidachas never happened. I'm going to be honest with you. Says, again, I don't know what you're talking about. Ani re'isiya. I've seen an Ein Nidachas via shafti altila. What's shafti altila means I sat on its ruins. Rabbi Yonasan says, listen, I can tell you, I saw in my own eyes about an Ein Nidachas. To which the Gemara says, Kimanos lahad desanyo. So we'll say, in accordance with whose opinion, is the following braisa. There was never any such thing as a house stricken with tzara'as. Even though the Torah speaks about tzara'as abatim, there's no such thing as a home which was ever afflicted by tzara'as. So the Gemara says, v'lama nichtav. So if that's the case, why is it written in the Torah? Joshua kabal schar. Ultimately, again, to allow me to learn it and to receive reward, to learn the lessons. Whose opinion will say this is refet? Kiman, Krabi Elazar ben Shimon. Why? This is not Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer. Li'olam in abayas tame ad shiira kishne gris na shne avanim. Rabbi Elazar, because you're going to see right now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, has very, very, very specific criteria for tzara'as habatim. So specific that the possibility of this materializing is pretty much non-existent. So what's his criteria? You have to see two grisin. So we'll say gris is a measure. Two grisin of the, this is talking about of the tzara'as. Two grisin on two stones, kishteik salim, that are on two different walls, bikeren zovis. So we'll say, so the only way for there to be tzara'as abatim is two different appearances of tzara'as that are each a gris, that are two different stones, that are two different walls, but yet they're connected. When can you have two different stones that are two different walls, but yet that are connected? Ultimately, again, he understands that a dafka has to be a corner. Because it's two different stones, two different walls, has to be at a corner. So the Gemara says, Archo kishne grisin, the size of the baharas, of the discoloration, has to be two grisin. Virach poki gris, and it's with one gris. So my time with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Elazar and Shimon have such a specific criteria? Ksiv kir, uksiv kiros. Because it says that the tzara'as appears on the wall, and it says the tzara'as appears on the walls, plural. Ezu hikirshu kikiros, which is the wall, which is like walls, meaning which is the one wall, which is like two walls. Hevi omer zekeren zavis. That's a corner. Tzitanyo amra belazer, Rebbe Tzadok. Makom hay. So we'll say, so therefore again, Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon says that tzara'as babatim never happened. Never happened. So again, why is the Torah giving me these halachos that never happened? Eladrosh v'kabel schar. This is what's to be learned. On the flip side, Tanya Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Reb Tzadok, Makom haya b'tchum aza, v'yekorin oso, chor vasa sigirta. Yet there was a place in the boundaries, in the tchum of Aza, that they used to call the Tzara'as ruins. So, right? Churbata zikirta. Rashi says, churba mitzora. Ultimately, again, today they used to call it the ruins of the Tzara'as home, which also Rav Tzadok is saying that what? Clearly Tzara'as Abatim did happen. Amar Rav Shimon, Ish Kfar Akko, Pam Achas Alakti Legalil, Vera'isi Makom Shemet, Sainin Oso, Va'amru Avanim Minugos Pinu L'Sham. Furthermore, Rav Shimon, Ish Kfar Akko said, one time I was walking in the Galil, and I saw a place that they demarcated, and they said, oh, this was a place where they used to clear out Tzara'as stones from the home, which were stricken with Tzara'as. So again, here, for our purposes, the important part to understand is the fundamental machlok is that whether or not Ben Sorer Umora actually ever happened or not is right over here, Rabosai. So fundamental machlokes with Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon saying it never happened, Rabbi Yonason saying I sat on his grave. So at the end of the day, fundamental machlokes, is there the possibility of Ben Sorer Umora occurring or not? If you say no, then it's Drosh V'Kabel Schar. There are lessons to be learned. But as you see, whether or not you hold that Ben Sorer Umore could actually happen absolutely colors some of the other halachos as well. Says the Mishnah. Haya echemem gideim ochiger. So we'll say if one of the parents, gideim, we'll say means was missing a hand, ochiger means was unable to walk, had some kind of handicap, o ilim, or was mute, o suma, or was blind, o cherish, or was deaf, inonasa Ben Sorer Umore. The kid can't become a Ben Sorer Umore. Shnei Amar. V'tafsubo aviv v'imo v'lo gidmin. Because we'll say the pasuk says that the parents will take hold of the child. Taking hold of the child, the Mishnah understands literally to mean what? They have to have hands. Therefore, if the parent, one of the parents is missing one of the hands, can't become ben sora mora. Votziu also, they have to be able to take him out to the beis din. V'lo chigrin means they have to be able to walk. Therefore, if they're crippled and can't walk, ultimately, again, kid doesn't become ben sora mora. V'amru v'lo ilmin. They have to be able to say, they have to be able to speak, and not mutes. B'neinu zeh, our son, v'lo sumin. And ultimately, again, not someone who's blind. Einenu shomea bekolenu. He doesn't listen to our voice. V'lo charashin. And ultimately, again, not parents who are deaf. Masrin bo b'fnei shlosha. So we'll say they go ahead and they warn him in front of three people. Umalkin also. We'll say this is actually very interesting. That the first step in a boy who's a ben sora mora is the first time he engages in this negative behavior. We warn him in front of three people and then we give him malkus. Chazar v'kilkel. But if he still continues again down this negative path, nidon be'esrin v'shlosha. He ultimately again is judged in front of a basin of 23. But even so, he is not executed until the original three people are part of that second basin. Because the parents say, this son, referring to the three dayanim, who are the three people who were there during the first round of warnings, they must also participate in the basin of 23. Says the Gemara, Shamis Mina, Ba'inon Kraki Dichsiv. So both sides, here's what's interesting. What the Mishnah is doing is interpreting the pasuk by Ben Sora Remora quite literally. Because again, remember what it's saying is, it's disqualifying all of these different handicaps, right? If any of the parents have any of these things, based on a literal interpretation of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that we interpret Pesukim literally. To which the Gemara says, well, not necessarily shiny hacha. This case is a bit different. Why? The kule kra yiseru. Because it was in reality, you don't need this entire pasuk. In other words, this entire pasuk of the tafsuba of it, the imo, votziu osal zikne iro, v'samchur, all of this is actually, it's extra. The pasuk could have just said, "Botseisem oso al shar ha'ir ha'hu uskaltem." Could have just said it simply. The fact that it adds in all of these different verbs, they'll take him, they'll place their hands on him, they'll say, all these things indicate us, says the Gemara, telling us that the parents must have all of their physical faculties in order to make the child into a ben sora umora. Umasrim bo b'fnei shlosha. We go ahead and we warn him in front of three. Lamali, why do I have to warn him in front of three? Betray sagya should be enough to what? Warn him in front of two. Amar Abai Hakam, this is what it means to say. Masrin bo b'fnei shnayim, umalkin oso b'fnei shlosha. We warn him in front of two, and we give him malchus in front of three. Malchus ben sora umora hecha ksiba. I don't understand, but where do you find malchus by ben sora umora? Well, in other words, where does this come from? I understand the warning him in front of two, but where is there malchus? So, the only punishment recorded for ben sora umora is what? Is misa's death. Where do you get malchus from? Kid Rabbi Avol. Rabbi Avol v'ad madnu mi yisru v'yisru v'yisru mi ben or mi bin. Uben mi ben. So essentially, what we do is we make a double gezer shava of yisru yisru ben ben or bin ben, which ultimately teaches us that the ben sora umora, before there is an execution, at first he is warned, and then again there is malchus, and only then, if he continues in these negative ways, is there execution. Chazer v'kilgal nidam mechav gimel. So we'll say ultimately, again, if he continues to go ahead in his negative ways, he is judged by a basing of 23. So we'll say, yet the Mishnah said that the first three people in front of whom the boy was warned are part of that basin, or are present in that basin of 23. Why? Because the pasuk says b'neinu zeh. To which the Gemara says, one second, haimi boyle zeh v'lo sumin. But one second, we already used that pasuk. Zeh v'lo teaches us that what? That the parents can't be blind. That if the parents are blind, ultimately the child can't be made into a ben sora mora. Im kein lichtov b'neinu hu. If that's the case, the pasuk could have said b'neinu hu. My b'neinu zeh. Why does it have to say zeh? Shema min atarzi. Also, we can learn two things out from it. Number one, we can learn out that the parents have to have sight. They have to be able to see. And number two, that ultimately, again, the people who were there for the three people who were there for the original warning have to be there for when the 23-member Beis Din passes a death sentence as well. Says the Mishnah, Baruch Achlo Nigmar Dino. We'll say, let's say, again, interestingly enough, let's say the Ben Sora Remora, the boy, is brought to Beis Din, right? But he runs away before Beis Din condemned him to death. So what happens? Va'achar kach hikif zekana tachta. So let's remember again when we started this perek, we started the idea that a boy can only become ben sora mora when he has two hairs, the beginning of the signs of physical maturation. But if he fully matures, now the way the Gemara is defining fully mature is that he has a ring of hair by the makom erva. So then ultimately, again, he's outgrown the framework of ben sora mora. So the Mishnah deals with an interesting case. Let's say when he's brought to Beis Din, so he has the signs of physical maturation for ben sora mora, but he doesn't, quote unquote, we'll call, have the ring of hair. But now what happens? He runs away, and by the time they catch up with him, he has already exhibited further signs of physical maturation, which technically means that what? He's aged out of ben sora remora. So what do we do with him? So the Gemara says, butter. He's butter. In other words, because there was no Gemar Din, now essentially by the time Beis Din catches up with him, he's aged out of ben sora remora. Therefore, he's butter. But I will say, however, again, if Beis Din found him guilty and then he ran away, then what? Right? So this is actually an interesting case. If, let's say, Beis Din found him guilty, and then what? He ran away before they were able to execute him. And then Beis Din catches up with him. By the time they catch up to him, he's already exhibited further signs of physical maturation, which under normal circumstances, with Ijimana ben Sora Mora, we still execute him. Why? Because it will say, because he had the Gemar Din. So what the Mishnah is saying over here is, if he escapes before the Gemar Din, he could technically speaking age out of Ben Sora Ramora. But if the Gemar Din was already passed, once the Gemar Din was handed down, we could execute him. Even if by the time we catch up with him, he has greater signs of physical maturation. Says the Gemara Rabbi Chanina, Benoach Shebereches Hashem Achagach Nizkayer. So we'll say, this yields a couple of very interesting cases. If a Benoach goes ahead and curses God, and then he converted. So, right, so you hear this case? He cursed God, and before we were able to execute him for that, he converted. So what's the halacha? Potter. We'll say the halacha ultimately again is that he's potter. Why? Hoil v'nishtana dino, nishtana misaso. Because we'll say at the end of the day, since his din changed, his misa also changed. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Hoil v'nishtana dino, nishtana misaso. Dino meikare nidon ba'eit echad. So listen to this. So the idea over here is that the Ben Noach could be judged with one witness, one judge, and without Hasra. A Yisrael requires all of the trappings of a normative legal system. So because now this individual converted, he's different in his punishment and he's different in his din, therefore he's potter. So the Gemara says, Neima Misayale, so we'll say, let's bring a proof to this. Baruch Achlo Nigmar Dino, if the Ben Sora Mora escapes from Beis Din before the sentence was handed down, V'achar Kif Hikif Zekan HaTachton, and then he exhibits signs of physical maturation. Potter, he is potter. Why is he potter? My time, Lamishom Darminon Hoel Vishtani Ishtani. Is it not because we say, listen, since he's changed physically, therefore his din has changed as well? To which the Gemara says, no. Lo Shaini Hacha, Di Avit Hashta, Lav Bar Ketaluhu. We'll say that case of the Mishnah is dramatically different. Why? Because if this boy were to engage in this same behavior now being what? Now after he has further signs of physical maturation, he would be potter legamre. He'd be totally potter. So because of that now, since he escaped before the Gemar Din, he's going to be potter as well. Tashma, Imishenig Mardino Baruch V'achakach Hekev Ziganatachton Chayiv. Yeah, we'll say, what do we learn? That if he went ahead and let's say the boy was brought to Beis Din, and Beis Din sentenced him to die, and he escaped before execution, and then he exhibits greater signs of physical maturation, when Beis Din catches up with him, they're still going to execute him. Why? To which the Gemara says, Nigmar Dino Kamet. How can you even bring up that case? That case of Osai is different. Why? Because there was a Gemar Din. There was a sentencing. Nigmar Dino Gavra Ketiluhu. The moment that a person has a Gemar Din, interestingly enough, they're effectively dead. Meaning, a person who has a Gemar Din from Beis Din is a dead man. We'll say, by the way, the raya to that is, we'll see in Maseches Makos, that's what? What's the halacha if you kill someone who's been sentenced to death by Beis Din? What's the halacha? You're potter. Rebata. So we'll say, what do you see from there? Mamish, like a person who's been condemned by Beis Din is a dead man. So once this boy has been sentenced to die by Beis Din because he's been so remora, the fact that he escapes and then he exhibits signs of physical maturation, those signs of physical maturation don't matter. Because once there's a Gemar Din, Gavra Ketilu, Tashma, we'll say another interesting case. Ben Noach Shehika es Chavero. If let's say Ben Noach hit his friend, Ubal Ish es Chavero, or he went ahead and committed adultery with the wife of his friend. Viniskayer. We'll say now what happens is, right, he converts. So what's Talach? A potter. So we'll say he's going to be potter in all of these cases. Asa came be Yisrael. We'll say that's however the Ben Noach did this to a Yisrael. In other words, the Ben Noach hit a Yisrael. Or the Ben Noach committed adultery with the wife of a Yisrael. Viniskayer. And then he converted. Chayiv. Ultimately, again, the Ben Noach is going to be Chayiv. Va'amai. But why is that? Neymar hoel v'ishtani ishtani. I don't understand why would we say that? Meaning, when the Ben Noach converts, so remember again, once the Ben Noach converts, everything about him has changed. First of all, his identity has changed, but remember also, the punishment has changed. A Ben Noach, whenever he commits an executable offense, execution is always done through saif, through the sword. Yet, again, for a Jew, adultery is often punishable by chenek, by strangulation. So why don't we say that he's changed, his status has changed, but also the punishment has changed, to which the Gemara says, Dino umisaso ba'inan. The difference is also the only way a person is potter is when he undergoes a change of identity, is when the din, the judgment, and the type of misa changes. Vahai, and in this case over here, Abosai, Dino Ishtani, Misasa Lo Ishtani. This individual, his din has changed. In other words, his identity has changed. But ultimately, and the din, halacha concerning has changed, but the misa has not changed. One second. Bishlama, Abosai, first white line, Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, Bishlama, Bishlama, Rotseach, Meikara, Saif, Ashta, Saif. So what's the Einis? And then a case of murder. So when he was a Ben Noach, murder was punishable by Saif. And when he's a Jew, it's punishable by Saif. So I say in that case, not really all that much has changed. It's true, his identity has changed, but his liability for the act has not changed. He would have been Chayiv for Saif as a Ben Noach, and he's liable to Saif as a Yisrael. Ela Eishes Yishpor, when it comes to adultery, Meikar Saif, when he was a Ben Noach, so adultery was punishable by Saif, Vahash Techenek. And now as a Jew, adultery is punishable by chenek, to which the Gemara says, so what's the case? What are we talking about over here? When he committed adultery with a na'ara ha'me'urasa. V'idi b'skila. The Rebbe will say, ultimately again, both a Ben Noach as well as a Yisrael are both executed with skila. Ay, v'ha asekein b'Yisrael. Dumya de eshes chaviro katani. But one second, that's not what the Brisa said. Right? The way the Brisa said it is that he committed the same act with the Yisrael. Dumya de eshes chaviro. So also the way the Brisa was set up is he committed an act of adultery with the wife of his friend. So that's not na'ara amuras over here. The Brisa explicitly said it's talking about mamish adultery with someone else's wife. Ella kala bechamura meshach shaycha. Rather, I said the Gemara says that when you go from a more chomer misa to a more calm misa, so the more lenient misa is included with the more chomer misa. Therefore, as a Ben Noach, Rabbi Osei, he was subject to what? As a Ben Noach, he was subject ultimately again to Saif. Saif is considered to be, and as a Yisrael, he's subject to Chenek, to strangulation. Chenek, or I should say Saif, is considered to be ultimately what? Is considered to be a more chomer form of misa. So therefore, because as a Ben Noach, he was subject to a more chomer form of Misa, the more kal form of Misa that he's now subject to as Yisrael is included in that more chomer Misa. Therefore, we don't view it as if what? As if the punishment is fundamentally changing. We're supposed to take a quick look at Rashi. It's three lines down on the wide lines. Ela kala bechamura meshach sheikha kilomar, liolam be'ishas ish, vidika shilacha amai chayiv, hari nishtana dino misaso, inkan shimei Misa, the Yesh Bechlam Misa Chamura Misa Kala, included in the Misa Chamura is the Misa Kala. The Cheva de Meikara Havi Saif de Chamira. The Cheva de Meikara Havi Saif de Chamira. The Hash de Misa Schenek Kala Bechlam Misa Zu Hayav Yosar. So we'll say the idea over here is we don't view it ultimately again as a switching from one Misa to another, because since as a Ben Noach he was Chayiv Saif, and now Uzi, so it's going to be Chayiv Chenek. So Chenek is more Kal than Saif. So therefore, the more Kal Misa is included in the more Chamer Misa. Therefore, it's not considered to be a change in a death penalty. Hanichal Rabbanan Saif Chamer. So I'll say that's fine according to Rabbanan who say that Saif is more Chamer than than chenek. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that chenek is more chamor, what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon sover like katana de Menasha. So Rabbi Shimon holds like katana de Menasha. But said, you know what? We're going to stop over here for today because we'll pick up with slichos and mirat Hashem. So we'll pick up. I'm leaving you kind of mid sentence a little bit over here, but mirat Hashem will continue in this sugya that speaks about again transitioning from ben Noach to ben Yisrael, when the punishments stay with you versus when they disappear. All right, we'll say, Thank you.